Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. I'm your host, Shannon Vernius. Well, certainly if you've looked out the window or if you've been walking outdoors, you've felt it in the air. Summer is ending. And while that always is something to just celebrate the changing of the seasons, we know that whether summer or winter, here in Colorado, we can get exposed to and overexposed to the sun year-round. It is a challenge facing any of us who live in this beautiful state. And that's why dermatologists are always wanting to make sure that people are aware of the risks that you face by overexposure to the sun. And today, our guest who's going to be talking to us about this important issue and also talking about some of the projects that her practice does that helps a number of people around the world. We're so pleased to have with us Dr. Renata Prado. And Dr. Prado, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Shannon. It's a pleasure.
Well, and for our listeners who are unfamiliar with her, because we've talked to Dr. Prado before on The Extra, but Dr. Prado is a board-certified dermatologist and a fellowship-trained Mohs micrographic surgeon who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of skin cancer. And that's really what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to get the warnings out there and get the advice out there so that people don't end up with a case of a melanoma that becomes cancerous. So let's start off here, Dr. Prado, talking about, how even during the changing of the seasons, when you think that it's time that it's going to be safe from skin cancer dangers, that we can put away the sunscreens, you really can't. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. Shannon, even when it's cold, even when it's snowy or cloudy, if it's daytime, we are receiving ultraviolet radiation from the sun. And UVA and UVB are the rays that will cause sunburns, aging of our skin, and in my case, with my specialty, most importantly, skin cancer. So in Colorado, this is, like you mentioned, this is an important issue because one, we are living in a higher altitude. And two, this community is just very active, and we love our outdoors. So even in colder months, I do talk to my patients about how important it is to protect our skin. And what I tell them is, if you open up the window and it's daytime, it doesn't really matter which season it is, the earth is receiving the radiation that can cause problems to the skin. So there is a risk, and you should be protected.
And we should mention to our listeners that, often when you look out the skies and you see cloudy skies, you may think that the danger, because in a lot of low-lying climates, you wouldn't be running a risk of getting skin damage, sun damage in such conditions. But because of our altitude, is that why we're at risk even when it's cloudy?
Well, also because even at sea level, on a cloudy day, the person will be receiving ultraviolet radiation. The clouds do filter some of that. So the ultraviolet radiation that comes from the sun, we have UVA, UVB, and UVC. UVC does not reach the earth. It's fully blocked. UVA and B are the ones that we receive here. And UVB is blocked by clouds, by windows, but UVA does not, or is not. UVA will go through clouds, will go through, windows. So that's why, even at sea level, on a cloudy day, you should still, know that you can get a sunburn or be exposed to that radiation.
So how do we protect our skin from sun damage?
Shannon, the American Academy of Dermatology recommends seeking shade, wearing protective clothing, and in the areas of the body where protective clothing is not, possible or viable at that moment, wearing a sunscreen. When you're wearing a sunscreen, you want to make sure that you have an SPF of greater than 30, and You also want to look at the label and make sure it says that it's broad spectrum or that it says that it's UVA and UVB, because the SPF greater than 30 is just saying what kind of protection you're getting for UVB. But UVA doesn't have a number. It needs to be written that it is also UVA protectant or that it's broad spectrum, one of those phrasings in the label. Usually sunscreens that have zinc will have this broad spectrum, but there are other ingredients that do that as well. So just make sure the patients read the label. And what I say is that in the fall and winter, usually we are mostly protected with clothing, but just don't forget the face, the back of the neck, the ears, the hands. These areas are often exposed no matter, what temperature for a lot of people. And just make sure, even if it's snowing, if it's cloudy, it's a daily thing you have to do to protect those areas.
Yeah, I always forget about my arm and I have the window open or, maybe the sunroof open and I forget about that. And certainly that doesn't, just because you're in a vehicle doesn't mean that you are protected if your sun is still exposed or your skin is still exposed, I should say. So a lot of us seek fun in the higher altitudes. When we come back with Dr. Renata Prado, we're going to be talking about any different practices that we need to employ when going skiing or hiking in the Colorado High Country. That's coming up as The Extra continues. Our guest today, Dr. Renata Prado, joining us. She is a board-certified dermatologist. We are talking about the dangers of overexposure to the sun in Colorado and what we all need to know about it. That's coming up as The Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Today, we're talking about the importance of staying skin cancer aware, making sure that you are taking the precautions you need to prevent skin cancer. Even though the seasons are changing, doesn't mean you can let up on maintaining that level of alertness when it comes to wearing your sunblocks and making sure that you're protecting your skin. And our guest today, Dr. Renata Prado, who's with Vanguard Skin Specialist. And Dr. Prado, before we continue, why don't you give everyone the contact information for your practice?
Oh, sure. Vanguard Skin Specialists, the phone number is 719-355-1585. The website is vanguardskin.com.
Easy enough. Okay, let's talk about, so many of us just love the outdoors. That's why we live in Colorado. We are looking forward to skiing, perhaps getting some fall hikes in. What do we need to do differently, or do we need to do anything differently when we're going up into the high country?
The precautions that we do for sea level and even or high altitude are the same protections that we just mentioned before the break. But they are just that more important when we are in higher altitude. The thing about higher altitude is that the higher you are in altitude, the greater the intensity of the radiation you're receiving. And roughly, we think about a 6% increase in that intensity of radiation every 1,000 feet above sea level. So, for instance, for skiers in Colorado, hikers, if you are at, let's say, 10,000 feet, which is many ski mountains here, you're getting a 60% greater intensity than if you were at sea level. So it is pretty significant. What I recommend, my patients who are skiers or hikers is, when you're having fun in the mountains, no one really wants to put sunscreen on. No one remembers that. So an easy trick is to get one of those sunscreens that come in a stick. You can just have that in one of your pockets. And this way you're waiting on the lift line or you're taking a picture at, a beautiful view. You can just take a little break and easily reapply your sunscreen without having to remove gloves, without getting lotion in your hands. It's very convenient and easy. But it's just something that shouldn't be forgotten, when you're at that altitude.
Right. And that's just as easy as slapping on some chapstick if you've got it in one of those sticks. I didn't think of it that way. And when people are taking so many precautions with their skin and protecting their skin from that ultraviolet radiation, is there a risk that we're not getting, you know, everybody always says you get vitamin D from the sun. Are we losing out on that?
That's an excellent question, Shannon, and it's actually a very debatable topic, fascinating topic. There are multiple studies that try to answer this question. There's always conflicting information. There's also controversy in this topic. So I think to answer this question, it's probably best to lay the facts that we know and then try to come up with a good solution for these. The first thing is vitamin D is very important to our health, not only for our bones, but the health of our body. The more we study the role of vitamin D in many organs and systems, the more we see how important it is. So it is important to have adequate levels of vitamin D. That's number one. Number two, we get vitamin D from the skin. We also get vitamin D from foods and supplements. And number three, unprotected exposure to ultraviolet radiation causes skin damage to the DNA of the skin cells, and that damage is cumulative. So day after day after day, it causes cumulative damage. It not only causes aging, but increases our chance of skin cancer. So now we have this little, you know, problem, how we're going to, you know, be happy with all those conflicting, you know, informations. So then several studies try to understand, if you do wear sunscreen, can you protect your skin from the damaging rays but still make vitamin D? Well, some studies show that if you were to use sunscreen on a very strict, very controlled manner, theoretically, you could block the production of vitamin D through your skin. The truth is, when we actually study what really happens in real life, we still see that the production of vitamin D still happens in people who wear sunscreen, especially fair-skinned individuals, because the sunscreen, the thought is, no one really applies the sunscreen in that manner that would completely block the vitamin D production. Exposing your skin to a lot of sun is not going to make you have a lot more of vitamin D. There is a moment that once you produce your vitamin D, the body doesn't keep producing it. So overexposure does nothing to your vitamin D levels and increases the DNA damage of your skin. What's the recommendation, I guess? The recommendation from the Academy, the American Academy of Dermatology, is not relying on sun exposure, tanning beds for vitamin D production. Is to get your vitamin D from a healthy diet and talk to your doctor about potentially supplements, if it's the case for you. But by doing that, you're obtaining the levels you need for a healthy level of vitamin D, and still keeping your skin protected from the damage that we know is true.
Well, Dr. Prado, you touched on some important points. I know I've been diagnosed with vitamin D deficiency, and I consider myself out in the sun a lot and probably not doing as much of a good job of putting on the sunscreen as I need to, so I can still be deficient in that. And like you said, supplements are a good answer for people like myself. When we come back, we're going to be continuing the conversation with Dr. Renata Prado, a Vanguard Skin Specialist, about the dangers of sun overexposure and what we all need to be doing. And certainly, Dr. Prado just mentioned something that I kind of thought we were beyond talking about, but the warnings against tanning beds. And apparently, those warnings still need to be going out because that is something that skin doctors are continuing to see problems with. When we come back, we'll have more of The Extra with Dr. Renata Prado. Keep it right here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're back with the extra. Dr. Renato Prado, our expert today, who's talking about the dangers and risks of living in such a, you know, high sunshine state as Colorado. We do need to worry about the risks that come with that, of getting too much sun and what that can do to your skin and to your health. And Dr. Prado, I think there was a study that recently came out that said that, unfortunately, due to the myth that we... contrary to the myth that we've all heard, that Colorado does not get 300 days of sunshine. It was close, but it wasn't 300 days of sunshine. Mm-hmm. But still, it feels like we get a lot of sunshine. But even so, there are some people, not just in this state, but all around the world, who seek out tanning beds. And that is something that we've heard the warnings from dermatologists like yourself for years now. But they still need to be warned about it. Tell us about why.
Shannon, tanning beds are a dangerous source of ultraviolet radiation to the skin. It really doesn't matter if you're getting the ultraviolet radiation from the sun or the artificial tanning beds. But the tanning beds, the problem with tanning beds, people now are able to expose their skin to radiation all year round. Like you said, Colorado is such a beautiful blast state. We have all these days of sunshine, but around the world, you know, people who live in states that don't get that much sun, or they're just a lot of longer winters and shorter days, they can get radiation from tanning beds, right? So the problem with tanning beds is it is the delivery of a known carcinogen directly to people's skin. And just to give you an idea of the power of the ultraviolet radiation as a carcinogen being an agent that causes cancer, more people develop skin cancer because of indoor tanning beds than people develop lung cancers because of smoking. The ultraviolet radiation is considered a very potent carcinogen. And we have more than 400,000 cases of skin cancer in the United States every year that are directly linked to use of indoor tanning. So it is a problem that in the dermatology office we see, you know, day in and out.
And we know that, you know, as the health industry, health providers are dealing with normal health problems, like, for instance, skin cancer, they're also dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. When you combine the two, how difficult is it and challenging is it to get patients healed when you're already dealing with pandemic issues?
Yeah, so in the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we had to shut down offices, the care of people for other problems, you know, became restricted as we all faced and we all lived last year, especially during, I believe, the months of March, April were the months that were really hard. What we saw was once those offices were all open back up again, we saw this, you know, big wave of people who couldn't get their care during those months where we were closed, or they just, even after the offices were open, they just did not want to leave their houses. And then we just saw a lot of cases of skin cancers and some serious skin cancers that could have been treated before and had their treatment delayed because of the pandemic. So COVID did impact the treatment of skin cancer, and I'm sure of many other health conditions of other specialties. But now, you know, as we are now moving forward with the COVID pandemic, the population is now back at receiving care. So the treatment of skin cancer is now back at the usual baseline.
All right. And when you're talking about skin cancer, we know that, you know, it's something that if you suspect something, you should definitely go see a professional. They're the ones who can identify it. How are skin cancers identified? How do they affect our health?
Skin cancer is one of the easiest cancers to diagnose, and that's because we can see it. It's right at our skin. You know, different cancers present in different manners, and patients always ask me, why you think, you know, this is this is fine, but you're worried about this little thing that I didn't even notice, or, you know, I have this a lesion that looks so much more different to me, and this little thing almost looks like nothing, and you're worried about that. Well, dermatologists are trained to spot lesions and differentiate what has a benign behavior versus something that can be a problem. And when we do a full body check, when we're looking literally from head to toe, we examine the skin, searching for any areas that can be a problem. And if we get suspicious about a lesion, we biopsy right at the office, diagnose it, and treat it. But for someone who's just looking at their own skin and thinking, how can I, you know, should I be going to a dermatologist because of this or that? Well, it's probably good to have an annual check and have a baseline anyways. But if you have any new spots, any new moles, anything that's growing, bleeding, scabbing, scaling, changing color, or just not healing, it's, oh, I have this little spot, it scabs, and then it heals. But then I wash my face and it's bled and it's scabbed again, and then it heals, and it's been going on for a few months. That's a pretty important sign of a potential skin cancer, and that's when you should be checked.
And I know the treatments will vary depending on the severity and when you catch it, but can you describe some of the treatments and also go into, you know, this Mohs micrographic surgery? Because that's something we mentioned at the introduction. That's something you're trained in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Sure. Shannon, you're a dermatologist. Once they have your diagnosis or someone's diagnosis of a skin cancer, we look at the site. We look at the type of the skin cancer. We look at the subtype, the histological subtype under the microscope. We look at the size of the cancer. We take a lot of things into account. And then we make a decision of the best treatment for that specific person and that specific skin cancer. And there is a variety of treatments. Sometimes we use freezing with liquid nitrogen. Sometimes we do scraping and cauterizing. Sometimes even topical creams can be used for very early superficial cancers. Often surgery is the treatment of many skin cancers. Surgical excision, when we remove the cancer with a little bit of normal margin around it, and a technique that's called Mohs micrographic surgery. That's my specialty. And that's a technique that takes care of skin cancers as well. The difference between just a regular excision and Mohs micrographic surgery is that Mohs is usually used in areas where we really need to spare normal tissue. So the margins that we take with Mohs is smaller. We're literally just taking the cancer and a little bit of normal rim around the cancer to ensure clear margins. And the way that we can do that and be so narrow and so tissue sparing is because Mohs evaluates this tissue microscopically 100% of margins. And that's done right at the office. The tumor is removed, a temporary bandage is placed, and the Mohs surgeon will be processing this tissue and looking at it under the microscope with 100% of margin being evaluated. And by doing that, we're able to remove the cancer and create much smaller wounds, much better scars, and more important, the highest possible cure rate.
The better outcomes. Interesting. When we come back, we need to take a short break, Dr. Prado. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, you know, success rates, what happens if you don't treat skin cancers, and also some of the philanthropic endeavors that Vanguard skin specialists are doing, are taking part in over the next year or so. That's coming up when The Extra continues. We're back with our final segment of today's Extra show, and our guest today, Dr. Renata Prado, who's with Vanguard Skin Specialists. And again, we gave people the website earlier in the show, but here it is again, vanguardskin.com. Dr. Prado, you talked about, you know, the ways of treating skin cancers or melanomas. What happens if people don't treat them?
So, Shannon, the good thing about skin cancer is, like I said, it's easy to diagnose. It's right where we can see. And the The good thing is most of skin cancers are treatable. The vast majority are treatable and curable, especially when they're caught early. So what happens if you neglect it or if you just don't treat it or let it go longer than it should? Well, most skin cancers, when left untreated, they will continue to grow. And depending on the type of skin cancer, that may mean a very slow growth with impact in months to years, or depending on the type of skin cancer, a growth that actually can spread to the body and metastasize and even be deadly. So it really depends on the type of skin cancer. But the most common skin cancer, which is the basal cell carcinoma, rarely spreads to other parts of the body. Basal cell carcinomas, they will continue to grow, and if left untreated, they will invade underlying tissue, not only the skin anymore, but they can invade muscle, they can invade cartilage, even bone. They can be capable of tissue destruction. Other skin cancers, such as melanoma, we all know or hear about melanoma being the deadliest skin cancer, they are associated with the potential for metastasis and death. But, you know, to just repeat what I said in the beginning, most skin cancers are curable, especially when caught early. So if you are diagnosed with a skin cancer and it's caught early, the chances are you'll be treated and get cured from that.
Okay. But again, being in communication with your doctor, if you see something suspicious, a growth on your body, that is definitely one way to get that early diagnosis that can help ease the treatment and ease your concerns about getting something that's going to lead to worse outcomes. Well, let's turn to something that's a little bit on the lighter side, but certainly very serious for Vanguard skin specialists. Dr. Prado, apparently Vanguard has been involved in several projects, multiple projects throughout the community, even globally. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the charitable and philanthropic endeavors of your practice?
Sure. So we, as a practice, have a very, very meaningful, very active mission. Our mission is to make a positive impact on our patients, on our community, in our world. And this mission is what has attracted a team of people, doctors, advanced practitioners, team members, pretty much anyone who comes to join Vanguard, from the receptionist to the doctor. Everyone, it attracts people who are engaged with this mission and who see medicine as a calling. And because of that, we put a lot of our energy and our effort to not only seek excellence in medical treatment of our patients, but also to make an impact in our community and in the world. And it's an ambitious mission, but it's a mission that drives us to do what we do every day. So, you know, Vanguard has opened offices in underserved areas. We just believe everyone deserves access to quality care. We give very generously to our community, and we also give generously globally for you know, projects that we became engaged with. So, for instance, in Pueblo, we support the Pueblo Child Advocacy Center. In Woodland Park, we support Hope Lives Here. Here in Colorado Springs, CASA, we had this partnership with CASA for a while, helping foster children. And globally, we have projects in Cambodia for child protection, in Rwanda for clean water. Most recently, we've been engaged with projects in Haiti, in partnership with Healing Haiti.
That has to be a difficult place to be trying to make a difference, because they just were rocked by an earthquake in mid-August.
Yes. So Haiti has been through so many difficult things, not only, you know, now two, you know, powerful earthquakes in a short period of time, and also political problems. Our first contact with Healing Haiti was in 2018. That was when Vanguard organized our first service trip to Haiti. I went on that trip for me and for the team that went together. It was very life-changing. At that point, when we came back, we just decided that we had to continue to be involved. We decided to sponsor a medical clinic in Cité Soleil. Cité Soleil is the poorest area in the Western Hemisphere. It's just outside of Port-au-Prince. We sponsor the salary of a Haitian doctor there. We also sponsor a maternal health program there. And we continue to send teams to Haiti. It's just a country that's been through so much, and we've learned so much from the Haitians, and we've been involved with them. And it's been, like I said, very life-changing for us.
Well, and you kind of touched on it, because it sounds like you're giving of yourself and of your practice and your expertise and knowledge and supplies, etc. But it also sounds like this is an experience that brings something back to Southern Colorado through changing and touching the lives of the medical practitioners who are involved in these mission trips.
Yes, absolutely. It is life-changing. And like I said, we also want to be very present in our community here in Colorado. And there are, you know, many team members that they have projects that are meaningful to them, and they bring that to our attention. And for instance, we also did a project for, we've been doing this for a few years now, school supplies for kids in schools of underserved areas. That's a project that's a passion of one of our team members, and she's been leading that, and everyone went on board. So things that are globally are meaningful, things that are local are meaningful. We just feel so blessed to be part of a group that is engaged and is like-minded and really wants to make an impact. It's a very inspiring thing to be living and working with.
Well, we salute those practices. We salute that philosophy. It makes the world and our community locally a better place. And Dr. Prado, thank you for all of your advice about how we can stay safe and keep our skin safe and keep our health better and improved and avoid damaging ultraviolet radiation. And certainly, if people were following all of your advice to the T, you might put yourself out of business, because then people wouldn't be getting skin cancer. But we know that even the best intentioned people can probably find areas that they can improve on. So hopefully through this discussion, we've all been able to take away a little bit more words of advice that we can apply in our daily lives. Dr. Prado, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Shannon. It's my pleasure. It was an honor to be here. I appreciate your invitation.
Well, and if you'd like to find out more about Vanguard Skin Specialists, we'd guide you to their website, vanguardskin.com, and to our guest today, Dr. Prado. Thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Extra. Hope to talk to you tomorrow.